Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to She Podcasts. I am your host, Jessica Kupferman. With me, as always, the slightly wiggly Elsie Escobar.
Hello.
And our wonderful producer, John Jamingo.
Hello, everyone.
How was your weekend? Did you do anything fun?
I worked out.
I spent Sunday in the emergency room.
What?
Yeah. What's that all about, dude? What?
I don't know. I woke up with chest pains, and then you know me, I'm a hypochondriac, so then it seemed to get worse and worse. And
oh my gosh. John.
I went there, spent the whole day. They did a bevy of tests. Oh, got my first real COVID up the nose test. That was exciting. Never want to do that again. Oh my God.
A brain tickle?
I got the brain tickler.
Did it make you sneeze?
I'll tell you what, you know how they said that, you know, they said, oh my God, they're actually doing it now from the rear end. I'll tell you what, if they gave me my choice, I'd drop my drawers and bend over and gladly give up my rear instead of having that done to my nose again. Holy mackerel.
Gladly give up your rear.
I've never had one of those.
Where do you want it? Zip? Right here. So, but no, everything's fine. I'm going to my other.
What was it like? Did it hurt or was it just?
It was really, really uncomfortable. It didn't hurt, but I was like, make it stop.
It's like they pluck three of your eyelashes, but you get to choose which three.
You know what it is? I'll tell you what it was. To me, it was like they grabbed the longest nose hair and pulled it out slowly. That's what.
That's awful. Did it feel that way?
It was. Yeah. It was. I can't describe it because this has never happened before. I've never had this feeling before. But I was like, make it stop. Oh! Like I'd rather take any other kind of pain that I did not like.
As soon as I saw that's how they were going to start giving tests, I was like, Jesus Christ! I hope there's some kind of alternative.
The first time I got mine, they did the back of my throat. They said just go ah. I went ah, and they went. They rubbed it around back there. And I was like, oh, that's not bad. Wow. This nose tickler.
I've always done the ones where they let me swab it around in my own mouth.
New.
How many have you had, Elsie? Have you ever had a COVID test? You must have.
No, I haven't.
You've never had one?
No.
God, what is life like that, I wonder?
I don't know.
I think Randy and Hunter did. I don't remember why.
Why? Probably to get in somewhere they couldn't get in without a negative test, like her school or camp or something.
Something. Yeah. I can't remember why they did it. But I don't even know which test they had.
After Christmas break, they had to get a clear COVID test from everyone in the house. I had to forward them four tests with proof that no one in this house had COVID. This time it was just for Isaac, though.
Oh, look at that.
That time I was in December, I was having a hard time making an appointment. I knew I wouldn't be able to get the results in time. He had to skip like the first day back from school because the results didn't come back when they were supposed to. It was taking 4 or 5 days to get a test result. This time I took him in. There was no line. We were there 5 minutes. We walked out, did the test, put it in the bin, and then I had the result by the next morning.
Wow. Hi, Patrick.
It was
That's
crazy.
Pretty quickly. No, Ran had to wait. I forgot why. Again, I can't remember. Oh,
if he had to wait, I bet it was a different month. Wow. Well, anyway, well, I'm glad you're better, although we don't know if you're better, right? Because they just let you go home.
No. They checked everything. I mean, they checked on everything, and they said that I'm not having a heart attack. I don't have blood clots, and, you know, everything that's supposed to be pumping is pumping. So that's good.
All right.
So then what the hell was the pain?
You know me, I'm a hypochondriac. You know that. You know I can't watch medical TV shows because I start getting the disease watching the show.
True.
Yes.
Is that bad?
Yes. I can't watch. I couldn't never watch House or those other shows. I can't watch them. Yeah. My kids started watching House and I would come in and go, oh, Dad, you got to watch it. I'm like, I don't know. I'm not watching that. I will get that.
Oh, my God.
I don't. And it's not.
I will
listen,
get that.
I will get the symptoms. They will start talking about it. Like they'll say, yeah, he's got like a sore throat. I'll start feeling a sore throat. And I'm saying, oh my, why am I doing this? I know I'm not getting it. I'm a hypochondriac.
That is the silliest thing I've ever heard.
I know.
It must be anxiety.
It is.
The heart.
It's absolutely anxiety.
Either that or you forgot to take a pill because sometimes my heart will pound if there's certain medicines that I forget.
I think that it was anxiety. That's what I'm.
My first ever anxiety attack was when during the ultrasound, they told me and my wife that we were having twins. and I started to pass out. they had to sit me down.
Really? I had a little bit of a feeling like that when we had my special surprise of May.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a feeling of holy shit, now what?
It was It was like, I think I would describe it as sheer panic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, I remember specifically, like, my whole entire body went cold. My heart started beat. And then I started to see white. I had to sit down. I almost passed out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's sad.
It was very surprising.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can have to say.
But
you have to, it was nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with the PTSD that I was processing from having Hunter.
Hunter? Yeah. Yeah. There's something about finding out right after you have one that you're going to have another one that is really an unforgettable experience. Like,
well,
I had three at home already.
I remember at 8 months, when Emily was 8 months, I remember feeling like, for the first time, I had a little bit of freedom. She could be with a babysitter. Mm-hmm. I could finish, I was finishing college, sadly. And my cousin was at University of Delaware, and I used to leave Emily with Michael. Cause I mean, he wasn't, I don't know what, how good of a babysitter he was, but she was easy cause she was like 9 months old. And then like a week into that, I go to the doctor and I'm pregnant again. I was like, what the, why? Why? I was just getting my life back, my body back, my sanity back. Why now? Plus, I still didn't like their dad as much as I probably should have. So, that was quite the eye opener. God. Yeah. Anyway, twins. I mean, I'm sure the fourth, you knew you were having four, though, right? That wasn't planned, though, I'm assuming.
It was a wonderful surprise. Like Elsie's was a wonderful surprise.
Yeah.
That's what I call my Maymay. I hug her and kiss her and I go, you're my special surprise. Because she is. And I don't know what I would do without my special surprise.
Exactly.
She will forever be my special surprise. And I adore and love her so much. But that's how I frame it. She's my special surprise.
Yes. People always ask if Isaac was a surprise. But no, he was a science experiment of the nth. The other two were special surprise. People always ask that, you had like a surprise. And I was like, no, I was 40. There's no surprises happening when you're 40. The surprise is happening when you're 20. Those two were a surprise. Jeez.
I got to tell you, every time I see Isaac or you post about Isaac, he is a special surprise because you never know what he's going to do next.
He is always, that's true. His personality is a special surprise. That's very true. So it turns out like he's super good at soccer. And I didn't know that. I mean, I had a feeling because he's so tenacious that he would be good at it. But he played for the first time this weekend. We got him all dressed up in his gear. And I thought the running was going to kill him because he hates running. And I'll tell you what, like the coach had them all like just, dribble down the field, dribble back, dribble down, dribble back. And on the third way back, he was like, I don't like soccer anymore. And I'm like, yes, you do. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. Well, as soon as the game started, they made him a substitute, probably because he was complaining about the running. The coach made him a substitute, and then, about 10, 15 minutes into the game, they put him in, and he was anywhere the ball was, Isaac was there. If it was him getting it from out of bounds, he was kicking it, he was pushing people out of the way to get it. I mean, not aggressively, but he was just like, I have these pictures of Isaac at every birthday party. At every birthday party, wherever the birthday cake is, Isaac is like right next to the cake. Like he's always in every picture, he is in front of the cake, waiting for the cake to be cut so he can have the cake. That's him with a soccer ball as well. He is right up on that ball. And I mean, he loved it and he did so good. That's yes, good. I am painting my nails. Yes. Yes,
good
I am.
Good for him. Yes. Yes. All the painting of the nails because
I just finished.
The only way that it goes. Kimberly Sumter, so nice to see it. See you there. So nice to see your little heart popping in. Hey,
Carrie, can you smell the nail polish? How did you know that?
I think Carrie, because we see you doing it, dude. What do you mean? How does she know? You're going like this.
You can't see.
You can hear the bottle banging off the desk. You can hear you off mic. You can see you turning your face away from the mic. And she is an
I'm
editor.
I'm not turning my face away. I've been like this the whole time.
Carrie, back me up.
You don't have to listen. It's the only – I do it the first 10 minutes of the show before we start talking about anything important, and it keeps my nails polished. It's called stacking habits. If I don't do it now,
it's
I don't
called
do it.
Stacking. Oh. I'd like you to stack different habits than doing those.
Like what?
Other things that are good too.
What should I – oh, I'm not on mic. All right. Thank you. Am I now? Am I better on mic now?
Yes. Yeah. That's perfect. See? Yes. See how it is?
Great.
I honestly think the best thing for Jess would be a headset, like that, the Audio Technica headset that they have.
Do you really think so? I don't. I'm not sure, because then this part would be moving around.
Yeah. Don't you remember when I have one for a little while, like a gaming headset?
Well, it's the Audio Technica. What is it? BTS. I don't even know. BTS something. Whatever.
Have I ever had good mic technique?
No.
I'd also like to mention that I've not had my ADHD medication in like 3 days. I ran out on Thursday, was my last pill. I called in a prescription Thursday night, nothing. I called in one this morning, so far nothing. So, you know, I might be a little less mindful of my idiosyncrasies and a little more wiggly. Okay. But my nails look pretty.
That's why you have to go work out, Jess. I have found that jumping around like makes me feel really focused. That's all I'm saying. And I have
it does what help I have, with that.
What I have found too is that I have a very direct. I told Randy that it's a very direct like no to things. Like a lot of the time, my brain gets like really full of stuff, and I sometimes lose my track of time, like scrolling through things, or like I see squirrels and I go away with the squirrel really fast, and it's just, and then I don't know where I am, but. When I have been working out a lot more, what happens is I have a distinct like no feeling whenever I do something that I don't want to do, where I'm being like if I'm scrolling mindlessly through Twitter or something, I have a ugh. Like I actually recognize it and I put it down and I stop, which is bizarre. Repulsion. That's what it is. That's the word I wanted to use.
Repulsion is the word you were thinking of?
Yeah. I have a repulsion to doing things that don't align with what I wanted to be doing or that I should be doing. I'm like, what? Why? Why am I doing this? Wow. So
I mean, that's cool.
I know. I was very proud of my body. And the other day I did. So get this. This is really bizarro. I was making dinner. I had my dinner and I forgot what it was that I was going to eat. And I had a little glass of.
I'm sure it was something with grains in it, right? Some grainy
maybe.
Stuff.
I don't know what it was. But I wanted to have a little glass of wine. And I only buy I don't have bottles of wine. I have only pre-packaged either cans or those smaller little, it's like one glass, I guess, if you open it. Mm-hmm. And I go, okay, I'm gonna have a glass. But I wasn't really sold, but I'm like, I'm going to have a glass. So I opened up the little can and then I poured it into a little cup and I was going to go about my business of sipping and finishing dinner and all the things. And I had a couple sips and I was like, nope. And I poured it down the drain.
Why?
I didn't want it. I just didn't want it.
Are you sober now? Or you just didn't feel like it would make you feel good?
I don't even know what that is because I don't think I don't drink enough to be sober. I don't know how.
No, that's not true. People who are just social drinkers can decide to be social, to be sober.
Well, I decided to be sober because my other half is dry. But I think that that's not really a choice, really, for me.
What do you mean?
Because it's like a non-choice. It's not a big deal. Like, it's not a big deal in my life. So I don't know if it's, like, I don't know what to say, like. Like, okay, decisions would be if I couldn't have my cup of coffee in the morning, that would be a big choice in my life. Mm-hmm. That would be like crazy. Crazy mm-hmm. choice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is not.
What about sugar?
Sugar's a hard one.
Can you
one.
Be sugar sober? I have to be at least more sugar sober than I am right now.
I think I'm pretty good at it, but I do have my, I have my tab. I have one, I know, see, I count all the stuff. I have one teaspoon of coconut sugar in the morning in my coffee. Mm-hmm. And then for dinner, for my dessert, I have a small square of organic chocolate. And sometimes I have a little bowl of strawberries or a little bowl of cherries with it.
Mm-hmm. With chocolate? Mm-hmm. Now, are you treating yourself, or is that what, like, if you were feeling luxurious, is that what you would eat anyway? Or are you like making sure that you don't eat something more bad for you?
That's all I have. I don't have.
But do you want more though, or no?
I don't want more.
Okay. That's good.
I've gotten to the point before it was a lot more, but I don't. I've broken myself off of the crazy stuff. And what I have found as well is that my body now has that sort of limit of enough is enough. Even when, because I absolutely adore coffee. It's my light. It's, I love it so much. It's scary how much I love it. But if I allow myself more than my 13 ounce amount of coffee in the morning, and I go, I really want another now. Mm. Every time I make myself the other cup, I feel like crap. Every single time.
I avoid coffee for that reason. It really wreaks havoc on my digestion. It is so painful.
Stopped.
I've noticed that most things will make me feel that. In fact, maybe except, no, even sugar. Carrie's right. Sugar is a drug. And it's a bad, 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 bad drug. I'm currently on the wagon. I need to become off the wagon. I'm off the wagon with sugar. So I have to get back on it because it is starting to ruin my life. And I mean, I'm taking a medication that is supposed to make me not want sugar. And that's not exactly how it works. No. I don't not want sugar. I am full faster from it. So like if I do decide, for example, like yesterday, God, don't get mad at me. Yesterday, and I was talking to you yesterday, we had McDonald's, remember?
Did you get
a I did not. No, no. I had McDonald's. I ordered a Coke, a large fries, and a double cheeseburger. I had one quarter of the Coke. I had only the soggy fries from the McDonald's. I did not eat the double cheeseburger because I was stuffed after that. I was so full after that. I couldn't eat nearly as much. Not only that, I couldn't eat dinner. I didn't eat again after I saw you until like 8, 9 o'clock, which is bad, I know. But I was so full that I could not even consider eating dinner. That was like at 2 o'clock. It was crazy. So, it's still not working though. I still need more. I need to be more stringent about sugar. It's very bad. Very, 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 very bad.
You have to train your taste buds. It's the taste bud thing.
Yeah, your palate.
And I don't know if my daughter, you know, one of them is a little bit more extra when it comes to sugar stuff. Usually Hunter is very much more into sugar. And you have to understand, like for me, sugar is not just having actual sugar, but sugar is things like alcohol, things like bread, things like flour. Right. Because all of that stuff is digested as sugar. That it doesn't matter what it looks like, what form it is, your body, it's that whole insulin thing. So we, for the most part, this house is almost sugarless, almost. So when I say that I have my chocolate, I really do have, like, I have a chocolate bar that lasts me 2 weeks and I have my little thing of chocolate, but that because I know that it's not good for me. After I eat it, I need to make a choice that's based on feeling all the way good. And it has some reactions I don't like. And that's my cheat, is that I give myself that much, but I still have the attachment to that. So even if I'm finished having dinner and I'm so full and I don't want anything else, I'm compulsive about having my little bit of chocolate because I can. Not because I want it, not because my body needs it, but because I can. And so I'll eat it anyway, which is not particularly the healthiest thing.
I mean, it's one square, though. Let's be honest.
But alas,
it's not the unhealthiest thing. The unhealthiest thing is having candy in the house so that your husband doesn't continually barrage you for chocolate. And then when you don't have any, they order it, like from DoorDash. So rather than order food after we eat dinner, I just have chocolate in my drawer. But then I have chocolate in my drawer. I don't want that either.
We don't have it in here at all because we are not a family that can have it in the house. And we recognize that that is who we are.
Have it.
We do not. We are not that family. And we do support each other in that so that nobody has it. When I have it, though, the girls don't know that I have my stash. Like, I had to remove it because I started to see that my stash that I was in the kitchen started to get smaller and smaller and smaller. And since I'm so aware of the amount, right, because I have my little square, I knew how many squares were going to last me for the week. But then all of a sudden, I was having less and less squares, at which time I decided to change my hiding place.
Carrie has a drawer, too. So yesterday, Isaac found my drawer. And when he finds my drawers, like when he opens my drawer and finds something he didn't know was in there. So in this particular case, it was Rolos. It's like a share bag of Rolos so that we can eat one Rolo at a time without having to open a candy bar. I know we're like way beyond what be talking about.
We are so into the weeds of chocolate, but yes.
He got very sad and he was like, but you're having chocolate without me.
And
I said, first of all, I'm allowed to have whatever I want without you. And he goes, but now I feel jealous that you guys eat chocolate when I'm not around.
Oh, well.
And I was like, there's a lot that happens when you're not around. It's not just chocolate. I said, we have conversations. We eat other things. We have drinks sometimes. Oh, and he was like, I don't like that. I don't like that, he said. I don't want you to do that. Okay, I guess we won't. But I mean, in a way, he's right. I don't want him to feel like we're misbehaving when he's not around because he knows we temper his candy and chocolate.
Right.
Well, so I don't want to temper his chocolate and then have him find a drawer full of Rolos because it makes me look like a dick, I think, to him.
To some degree, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Maymay has been calling me out in the morning.
Yes.
Yeah, because there's a couple of times where, you know, my breakfast in the morning is my cup of coffee and then I have a smoothie at some point in the morning. But I do get myself treats. And then I have just rediscovered gluten-free donuts.
Ew, God. See, now that's now see,
I love them.
Some of the stuff that people love, I cannot fucking eat like donuts. That is like a
But they're gluten-free. But anyway.
It's just all cavity. Like, all my cavities scream when someone says the word donuts.
Okay, this is what I don't understand. How are you saying my cavities scream over this when you're having chocolate and candy in your drawers?
I don't know. I think because it's a tiny piece of candy and I kind of suck on it and then I swallow it. Like, I'm not chomping down on chocolate
but it's still
the way you would a donut.
Your mouth.
I don't know. I can't eat. I don't like donuts. If there are cookies and cake in this house, they will be here until the dawn of time. It's only little pieces of candy that get me.
Right. That's like the cavities.
I know. I don't know why.
That is bizarro. But anyway, this is like the healthiest. If there is a healthy donut, this would be it. And so they're frozen. They come in the frozen food section and I stick it in the little air fryer and I heat it up in there and it comes out real nice. And then Maymay comes out and she's like, I smell good things. And I'm like, what? And she goes, did you have a donut again? No. She goes, are you having a donut, mom? And I was like, no, because she said, are you having? And I had.
Right. And you already had.
Yes. So I did not. Lying.
Yeah, as long as you chocolate, if you're going to eat candy, chocolate's the best one for your teeth because you can brush your teeth and then it's gone. But like, yeah, I can't put chocolate in a box of tampons. That feels wrong somehow.
That's wrong. Yeah. Plus,
I'm not judging you, but I don't think I could do it.
Well, I have it in a special place, and I'm not telling anybody because my daughters might at some time find or listen to this show, and then I have no hiding place. And I'm really sick of trying to find the optimal hiding. Anyway, let's move into podcasting. What are we doing?
Could we?
Let's stop it now. Let's get on
time
the show.
Time for the news. Time for the news.
The news you can use. For the informed podcaster, podcasting news.
So apparently Apple Maps will be showing COVID-19 travel guidance, so you know what to expect at the airport. So when you are going to the airport, check your Apple Maps app so that you can know whether or not you need a mask and what kind of other protocols they might have when you get there. It's actually very useful information. I mean, I wonder what they'll have in October.
I don't know, but I think that's why I put it, because we have the thing. But this one, I came upon it this morning, and I think this is fantastic. This is an article titled, "Neuroscience Research Finds Distinct Advertising Differences Across Audio, Radio, and Podcasting." Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you think?
Is this really news?
Yes, it is news. Look, according to the sound, you can see research. Radio showed the strongest ability to engage listeners and for extended periods of time, racking up 60% more neural engagement than other audio formats. Podcasts, meanwhile, were found to provide an environment that lends itself to higher levels of memory encoding.
We already knew this, though.
While music streaming options showed the strongest impact in promoting positive attitudes towards brands. That said, though, no, because there's another, like the other thing I highlighted there that's in green, there's a quote there that says that this is like the first time that it's assessed the differences in these three audio products.
Okay, so maybe the third one wasn't.
Between those three.
Maybe the third one wasn't included in the 800 other studies that I've pulled for presentations and talked about on this show. Haven't I talked about brand lift studies and stuff on here? Podcast One did a brand lift study.
Have you not read what it says? This is the first time that anyone has demonstrated from the perspective of the brain that radio, podcasting, and music streaming are processed differently and should be treated differently.
I mean, were they expecting different findings? So we already know that people have more memory of a product when they're listening to a podcast host. I mean, that's nice that you could do it from the brain
perspective
of
the
brain.
You
can also do it from a foot activity, and it will, I guess, be the same because it's the same result.
From a foot activity?
I'm just saying.
I think you're being a naysayer. I think this is quite an exciting thing. And I think folks can really take it's so exciting. It's an exciting thing.
Okay. The only reason I think you think it's exciting is because you haven't read these stories 8,000 times. I know.
Yeah, but not from this perspective.
Like, you should know this already.
No, but you're seeing it from the advertiser marketing sales perspective. I'm seeing it from the actual human being perspective. From the embodiment perspective, from the power of the brain with the audio medium, from the ability for us to understand why podcasts are so important in people's lives.
Okay, here's what I feel like you did. I feel like, okay, you know that American Horror Story is scary. And I think what you did is take that show, do some brain tests, and then go, but look, your brain and neurological activity says you're scared. Well, no shit.
Yes, but there's sometimes. Hey, listen, if
come on.
Hey, I think that there's a validation again, because, you know, when we started this whole conversation here, I think most of y'all missed it. People who were here or may not have been here.
When?
John, right when we started to talk about it.
Today?
John said that I'm saying like too much. I mean, in a good way, in a good producer thing. And I said, I want to know these things because then I can be better. And I'm going to try to make sure that my brain understands this. But part of it is that there is a difference between other people seeing you. Oh my gosh, Elsie says like all the time. She's saying like all the time. It's so annoying. And then me going like, oh, see? Me just standing here going, no, I don't. No, I don't. What do you mean I say like? I don't say like.
You totally said you did.
Well, I said I probably do. I hadn't heard myself, but I can still do it. But now in the process of being validated for me to be able to see it and then go, oh my gosh, I totally do that. That makes it more meaningful if I have the data. Do you understand? If I have the data, it makes it more meaningful to me to be able to shift it and change it.
Okay.
It's empowering.
To me, 64% of people who listen to podcasts saying that they recognize and remember an ad over the ones they hear on the radio is data.
I get it. I understand that. But this is based on your brain, which is even better. So now you have double the punch.
Better than your... Okay, I'm not going to argue. You're right. It's groundbreaking. Okay? It's groundbreaking.
I broke her down, people. No, you're just being feisty against my excitement. And it's made
I'm
me sad.
I'm not. It's just the... Oh, now you're... All right, Isaac. Listen. You're sad because you didn't tell... You listen... Are you sad because I didn't already know this? Because every...
No, I'm sad because he didn't find the excitement of the neuroscience. Let's get Dr. Ginger.
I love
Ginger
because
to
it's obvious
this.
To me. Because it's obvious to
hey,
me.
Listen.
We already know that podcast advertising makes more of an impact. So if you want to show me... You know, if you get this video, go back to that exact spot and then do a screen grab of her face right then. That was an amazing face you just made.
It's absolutely the facial expressions. If you listen to this podcast, you have to go to Facebook and actually watch one of these because Elsie's facial expressions are classic
She's
and epic at the same time.
Classic and
Muppets
epic?
Muppets don't even make expressions that Elsie makes. She's so much better than having your own Muppet. I mean, I used to just say that.
Just when she's told the story of having chocolate or having a donut and had a donut, the way she looked into the camera, I was like, no wonder you were an actress. You,
I know.
It's amazing.
She's so dramatic.
It is. It's crazy. I've never noticed it before.
I've always noticed it.
Oh my God, my belly.
Oh my God. Didn't you see our outtakes from our last photo shoot?
Oh my gosh. I just bumped
they
it.
They were
I
was... milliseconds apart and every photo has a different facial expression. It's like, like every single one is different. It's amazing. I should pull them up for you guys. It's so
I
funny.
Just, I was scrolling through my, I was looking for pictures. I forgot what it was. Oh, I was getting my recording pictures, my setups through the years. And I came upon, you know, those square images that have the six pictures or nine pictures on them. And it was my face on all of them making a different face. And I started laughing because I was like, wow. That's a lot of faces.
Right. Let me see if I can...
That's a lot of faces. Anyway, moving right along while you're looking for faces, Jessica Kufferman. We are moving into... This is an article that I found this morning as well. COVID listener surge sees podcast firms' results perking up. Wow. All right. That's not the most appealing headline here. In fact, I'm not even sure why I dropped it here. I guess it's because... Oh, I know. Because they mentioned Audio Boom in this thing. And Audio Boom was at death's door just a couple of...
That's true.
Like a couple of years ago. And now it says Audio Boom's revenues are growing at almost twice the rate of the U.S. podcasting ad market, the world's biggest at an estimated $1 billion. And then recent buying spree has left few large-scale independent contenders in the market. Audio Boom's investors will be hoping its growth story might be soon enough to get on the buy list of one of the global players. Oh, come on. Really? You want to be bought? Oh, this actually could be a piece that is all about getting them sold. I never realized that.
You think?
Yeah, it's sort of like because the narrative around Audio Boom is that they were losing money and they were running out of funds. And then now they've made like the 200 whatever percentage.
They called it a maiden profit, which means they're first. Sad.
What?
That is sad. Their maiden profit was this last year.
Their maiden profit. Okay. Is that the first time they made a profit? That's what it is?
That's maiden is like, your first. Yeah, it's like being a maiden or a virgin. Their maiden profit.
Oh, well, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
If you're a boat, you make your maiden voyage, which be your
first. Right, your first voyage. Right. Okay. I'm going to share this now. So I don't know if you're going to be happy with this conversation either, but let's go. It's a fussy day. So Elsie sent me an article that said Gimlet Media and The Ringer finalized union agreements with Spotify. Here are salary and other details. So Gimlet Media jobs and minimum compensations. An associate producer, $73,000. Editor, $125,000 a year.
Oh, my God!
That was not me. Host, $110,000 a year. Producer, $87,000 a year. Associate editor, $100,000 a year.
Oh, I like my that God! The editor.
I like that the editors are getting paid more than the host because that's as it should
be.
Wait,
what are you talking about? The host is $110,000. Oh, the editor.
Yeah, but the associate is only, that's only like $900 a month less. All right. And the editor gets paid more. Senior producer is about the same as the host, $108,000, $109,000. And then in 2023, it'll be $110,000. Senior producer, same thing, $108,000, $109,000 next year, $110,000, 2023. And then other jobs. Assistant editor, $63,000 to $67,000. Video producer, $60,000 with overtime eligibility. Audio production assistant, which I guess is the tweaking. We can call them the tweaker.
The tweaker. I don't think that's a great name. $57,000.
I don't think this is a lot of money, though, in my opinion.
For the tweaker?
No, for any of it.
You don't?
I would take any one of these jobs tomorrow. Anyone.
You would?
Absolutely anyone.
I'm not saying it's no money. I'm saying it's less than I thought it would be.
Audio producer, $75,000. I'm telling you right now, there's not an audio editor producer in the business that's making more than $75,000 a year, I don't think.
Well, let's just put this in perspective. A person who's a project manager at, say, JP Morgan Chase or Xfinity or I don't know where else, any bank, Discover, they're making about $150 to $200. So you would think in comparison, I mean, I know it's a lot of hard work for both, but like, I mean, the shows are something, I don't know. Like, is this what people make in television too? I just thought it would be more. I thought that Spotify was like overflowing with money and that they would, you know, a host only making, I don't want to say only making $110,000, but once you get taxed out, you only bring home like, I don't know. $110,000 a year is probably like two or three a month after you pay for healthcare and insurance and everything else.
But Jess.
I know. But when I look at that salary and I think, how's that going to pay anybody's bills? The $67,000? Like, come on.
So if
in New York? In London? In California? No fucking way.
Well, first of all, as an editor, you know, especially an audio editor, you don't have to be there. All you have to do is be able to
share. And you can take freelance jobs too.
Probably. Right. And again, when you're thinking about the kind of stuff that we're doing right now, you and I, one of the hardest things I feel, and I mean, in so many different ways, I'm super blessed and I love the fact that I have so many things going on and that I have my hands in so many things and I've had the experience and continue to have the experience.
Yes, I'm sure it's more peaceful. You're right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Can you imagine if my entire job, I would be over the moon with that $110,000 and I was the host of a show.
All right. I'll give you that.
Think about just the plain, like the mental, I don't know, because I also don't think that they're doing that. I think I may be wrong, but I don't think that they're doing the kind of stuff that we are, which is every week putting this stuff out, and somebody else is doing all the other stuff.
I know. Somebody else is putting all the notes together. Somebody else is doing all the research. That's another face.
I mean, we can work with each other. We can prepare for the show, but we have backup. Like if I say, whoever my person is, I need you to get me the key. Like these are the things I want to discuss. You pick the key points that I need to nail when we record. You get the whatever. And that way, when we come in here, we're not going, where's the thing? What's the article? What am I supposed to be doing? You know what I mean?
We can skip all that anyway. We don't do that. I'm a professional, goddammit.
Stop it.
The voice from God came in from all the
time. I know. Jessica, stop playing with yourself again.
You know something? You can always tell when Jessica has not read the article. Because you can tell, because Elsie will ask her a question.
She just starts reading it. She just starts straight up reading it.
Carrie, I swear, sometimes Carrie's messages are so on point. She should be on the show with us.
I know.
Who are these people with just one job? She's right.
Yeah.
Fuck those people.
Who are these people with just one job? I know. And that's like, in some weird scenario, it feels to me that it is the holy grail we're all looking for. And at the same time,
no, I can't have one job. No, I don't want to just show up and be a host and then do nothing else with the rest of my day or week. I would die of boredom.
No, well, that's the point. Do you understand how incredible it would be to just be, to go like this? This is, would blow my mind. It's Friday. It's 5 o'clock. I'm off the clock.
Elsie, my life is like that because I make it that way, though. I try not to work on weekends like that.
Yeah, but you know what? There's times when that just does not pan out, dude. And listen, if we wouldn't have done the speaker thing like we did on Saturday, on Sunday, in fact, aren't we doing some more of that crap here coming up again? We would not have been able to get through it. That's the only time. And I always don't take stuff. But I clocked in. I know this is pathetic and I'm going to probably be yelled at for saying this. But on Saturday, I worked over 9 hours all the things.
But that's because.
Yes.
That's not because you work 40 hours a week on the other times. It's because you have sectioned out your week to be slightly different than other people who work 9-to-5 jobs.
Yes. But also, we also do the things where I don't understand how normal people have regular jobs and they don't ever work outside of the 9-to-5. Because even now, like about schedules, like tomorrow's schedule, I forgot what it was that you were trying to schedule something with me and you're like, you have meetings all day. Yeah, I have meetings all day. And so when do you actually do the actual work?
So this is the problem I'm having with something else, in fact. Both sponsorship and I'm starting the sponsorship patrol, which means I have meetings all day, which means when am I supposed to write emails and do these other things? Not to mention the fact that, like, have you ever noticed that when you are, like, during the pandemic, when work was light at the beginning, because we weren't doing the event, we hadn't started the membership yet, and everything was light, and, like, I was working really hard on, like, managing my own life, doctor's appointments, dentist appointments for everyone else, life insurance. What else do I have going on? I'm supposed to get, like, it's just so much work.
I know.
Birthday presents for people. I mean, I guess a lot of that was like put on hold because of the pandemic too. But Scott told me this morning, you better follow up with this doctor and that doctor because you haven't heard anything. And what about your prescription? And I was like, when do people get anything done? I don't want to be on the phone with these people.
Oh my God. Yes, that's exactly what I was just thinking. There are some things. I still have things like that to do too. I have to follow up with this person that has nothing to do with my job.
Yeah. My fridge is on the fridge. Life. Just whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
If your fridge breaks down or if your pickles are freezing, you have a problem and you can't, like, just do the speakers because half the shit's frozen in the fridge. You can't have frozen eggs. Have you ever had a thing of eggs freeze in the freezer? It is repulsive.
Yeah.
That's your word.
There's a knob in there. You turn it down.
No. It happens. Actually, my fridge breaks down almost every Thanksgiving because it gets overstuffed and then we block the vents. And I'm like, and the guy came and said this the other day and I was like, so what you're saying is don't fill the fridge. And he was like, well, the vents and the this and then it. And I'm like, so it's a GE fridge and I can't fill it to
the
top.
Well, it depends.
Just don't block the vent.
Again, don't fill it all the way up.
Priscilla says the struggle to draw boundaries has gotten harder since the pandemic. Right. Well, part of that is because we have nothing else to do. And I think we all know that none of us have anything else to do.
Well, it's not that because I do have other things to do. And I wish that I would have had
what is other it then? Things.
I'm just saying it now. It feels as if everybody has access to all the stuff. I am afraid of going back to our real life, I guess, or whatever that is with other people.
Non-pandemic life?
Yeah, unpandemic life, because that means that now you're going to have to add commuting times. You're going to have to add...
Not for you.
Like, other places to go. Like,
not for you.
Well, no, because my girls are going to have to go to school.
Carrie, I've done the same thing. But it wasn't to tackle personal stuff. It was to do work. I have taken small little hotel night trips away to work, to actually do work. Because some weeks I find, like, especially spring break and Christmas break, I can't do it here. I got nothing done last week because he was here.
Yeah, no, it's pretty overwhelming. And then you sit around and you go, like, I really need to draw boundaries. But then here's the thing, though. In order for me to feel really good this weekend, that work made me feel grounded and good and unstressed. Because if I would have skipped that, that means that I would have either had to work through the night on Friday, or I would have had to wake up at 4:30 in the morning on Monday and cram all the things so that I could have a Saturday and Sunday where I was just chilling.
Or you could just push the deadline.
Not when you are in a publicly traded company and you have an announcement that we're going to be talking about where there was an acquirement thing happening and stuff happened in the world.
I meant our deadline.
Okay, yeah. Well, see?
When you have clients or you work for somebody else, sometimes their deadlines are your deadlines. And then what happens is when something happens in their life, it pushes everything together. To me, it's like... when crap flows up against the side of a building, you know, it's like, what happened?
Shit rolls downhill is what you're saying.
Yeah, basically. And, you know, I had it this weekend. Four clients had things happen. People canceled. They moved the interviews back. I didn't get the audio too late. And then Sunday, I decided to go to the emergency room. That was unexpected. So, you know, and then you're trying to make...
Yeah. No, I mean, in all seriousness, but that's the thing. I could have just said... but there are some things that you simply cannot do, right? So let's just talk about to the news you can use so that we can really talk about some of this stuff, this last one here. So some news that were released today on Monday, you all won't be hearing this until Friday when this show goes out. But Libsyn acquired podcast monetization platform Glow. And that was, it came out in the PR stuff, in the PR, what is it?
It's interesting that you've acquired now both Glow and AdvertiseCast.
Is it now?
I mean, I smell interesting things happening over there.
Good. But alas, when was it that we were going to be doing stuff for this? So I had to, you know, we had an extra special, the feed episode that we had to record. When do you think that happened? Oh, I don't know. Late 8 p.m. on Friday? Okay.
I'm feeling some stress and tension.
Well, all I'm saying is that that's when it happened. And then who was going to edit? And when were they going to edit? Oh, that's me. So I had to edit and make sure that everything sounded fine because, you know, we had three tracks and all the things. Y'all can feel me, people. All the editors out there understand what this was like. And it has to be very, like, on point. Mind you, that's not the only thing that we had to do. It's not like I was the only one doing that. But the whole point is that there was a preparation that was leading up to an 8 a.m. announcement on Monday. So when are you going to do the job? On Saturday or Sunday?
I thought you were talking about our stuff, not their stuff.
Well, that was extra. So then you add the She Podcast thing to the mix. And that's the extra things too. That's... all I'm saying is that it's more. So it's like...
you've worn me down yet again.
No, I'm not pouring it. I'm saying. I think
you've worn me down again.
It's not that. It's like we have more things, right? There is no other time to do the stuff. So you just do it when all the things are. And right. And then, yeah, that is just in yeah.
It's, yeah. I always go back to the battle cry of the entrepreneur. I don't work 40 hours a week, so I can work 80 hours a week. So instead of having a 40-hour job, you do your own thing, but you end up working 80 hours a week. And again, this doesn't happen. I mean, Libsyn doesn't acquire a company every month. So every once in a while, you got to pull out. That's how it works.
Apparently, it's every week. Every week it's happening.
I know. Now it's like, it's every week.
Not every month. You're right.
Every month, every week. And I just want everybody to know that, yes, I do work for the company. Mind you, I am not the company. I am the community manager, which is a facet of the company. It's a facet of my job. I don't know all the things. I just know what they tell me, which is we acquired a company. Okay? So, and then all y'all can think about and do all the stuff. When's that happening? And interesting, that's like, I'm just like, okay, yes, it is.
So we went from talking about how much Gimlet pays their host.
Right.
To how hard Elsie's life really is. And
why
and I'm not saying I mind.
All
that.
I'm saying is like one, like I'd be super cool with $110,000 a year hosting a show. If you want to listen
so
to
we
the,
talked about Libsyn.
Yeah, but let me tell them that if you want to listen to Amira Valiani, who is the founder of Glow, talk about the acquisition and all that stuff. I did put together the feed. The official Libsyn podcast has a bonus episode. Let me know what you thought of my editing skills for that. John, I was kind of proud of myself, I have to say, because we did it all on Skype and Amira was not on mic. Rob and I were. And so I had the three tracks and I had two double tracks of hers because Rob and she were in a track and then I and Amira were on a track. And then I had to get the best and she dropped out a bunch of times in Skype. So what was really weird is that they're like, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, John, but whenever you're recording that and they have blips, you just have to like cut the silence out and then they actually sound like it's the word.
Yeah, so when you get, like, it'll Skype out. If you can, it's hard to say. You'll see the wave go down, and then it'll just, like, pop back up again. And you can cut it just a little bit before it starts and a little bit after it stops, and it does sound like the word. Sometimes sometimes you'll hear a pop, and then you got to zoom in and kind of cut out where the wave lines match so you don't get that pop. But, yeah, I do it all the time. I do it all the time.
And so I was very proud of myself where we didn't have too much of that stuff. So. Anyway, it's only 18 minutes, by the way, so it's a short one.
Do you want to hear, speaking of makeup, about something that I've been watching that's not exactly a podcast, but kind of?
Sure.
Is that a no?
No, it's you've got the floor.
That was a sure. I just wanted to, write this
Bailey
down.
Sarian, S-A-R-I-A-N. Look her up on Facebook. Okay. She has this amazing show called Murder, Mystery, and Makeup, where she tells you about a terrible murder while she does that day's makeup. Only she's a makeup artist, so she does, like, you know, dramatic makeup. But it's like she picks a... Well, so, like, for example, she just did... The one I was watching earlier this morning was about a spoiled rich girl who killed her parents because they cut off her allowance. And she did a look that was, like, very dark eyes, but very light lip. I don't know. It just seemed like something like a spoiled cheerleader would look like. Anyway, it's just fun to watch it. She's not necessarily giving you the makeup tutorial. It's more just watching her put a makeup on and her, you know, from start to finish, if you've ever watched, like, a person put their makeup on and they're a makeup artist, it's pretty interesting. That's all I'm saying. But I like that it's accompanied with murder.
Well, good. I like it that it's accompanied
like a
with
podcast
murder.
And a makeup tutorial all in one.
By the way, I'm speaking of the same thing that it was accompanied with murder. I mean, not saying that I was accompanied with murder, but remember when we covered the Apple Watch talk thing? Like, there's like when you go, you have
there's
a walk
with, talking.
No, when you have a walk with some famous person that's just talking while you are walking. Remember we covered
this
on the show?
Yeah.
Okay. So I did it and it's great.
And
it's amazing.
Really? Wait, who was it?
I think it was Sia.
Sia?
Yeah.
I want to do that.
It was
sounds
awesome.
So
and she was so down to earth and she was walking on the beach and I was walking and she was walking and she was just talking about stuff. And I thought, this is awesome. I love this so much. It made me feel really happy. And I kind of got to know Sia a little bit. And it didn't, in some way, it could have been anyone talking. Like, it was so expansive, the conversation about stuff, that it wasn't anything specific. And then, but she did have some of her music towards the end. So in the whole first part was just talking. She was just talking. Then towards the end, she brought in some songs. So she said, this is a song that I like, or this is another. She was talking about the specific songs and then they played them. So that's a special thing for Apple Fitness Plus, because obviously podcasters can't do that. But she played some of those songs that were part of the thing. But I thought, this is a fantastic idea. I enjoyed it. And I'm going to do it again. I don't know who else I'm going to listen to, but it was really great.
You know, Sia doesn't need dollar bills to have fun tonight. Did you know that?
Please stop it, because I don't know enough to even think that's great, what you just said, that you're so smart and stuff. You're all probably...
You don't know her songs?
I probably do, but I don't know their names.
Sia's main song, the two songs that you should listen to are Cheap Thrills. Come on, come on, turn the radio on. It's Friday night. And okay.
See,
her main chorus there is, baby, I don't need dollar bills to have fun tonight. Yeah, that's Sia. And then the other one she does is Swinging from the Chandelier. And that one, the pre-chorus goes, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, drink. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, drink.
I wonder if it was not the right thing.
And then it goes, swing, not scream, from the chandelier. It's a terrible version. She has the most amazing voice, and I do not. But those are the two.
Maybe
she listened
to. I can't remember who it was now.
Are
I
you hope saying that, now that it wasn't Sia?
I don't know if it was Sia, because I don't.
That's
maybe it,
disappointing.
Now I can't remember competitions. I can't even find it.
I'll tell
it.
You what. Like, if you're going to fiddle with Apple Fitness, where do you log in? Is it on your phone? Do you log it on Apple TV?
I usually do it on my phone.
The phone. Okay. I was just curious.
How are you not using Apple Fitness? I don't understand. It's like the best thing ever.
I didn't say I wasn't using it. I guess I did say I wasn't using it. I'm gearing up to use it.
It's like so amazing. So many fun things in there that are.
I do use it. It keeps track of all my stats and measurements and all kinds of shit. I just haven't used like the fitness. I have it. I own it. I haven't opened up Fitness Plus yet. Now I see.
Oh no!
What it
sorry,
is.
It wasn't Sia. Sorry.
God damn it!
It was Keisha.
Kesha.
Sorry. Kesha.
You know who Kesha looks like?
No.
Emily.
Oh
my daughter.
Gosh! You are correct.
Doesn't she?
Yeah. You are so right.
Look up Kesha. Her Kesha. S is a dollar sign. K-E$HA.
Yeah.
If you see any blonde picture of Kesha, she basically looks exactly like my daughter. It's creepy.
Oh my God.
She doesn't act like my daughter. I mean, you know, the artist that actually reminds me of my daughter is Billie. Help me.
Eilish.
Billie Eilish reminds me of Emily, but she looks like Emily to me so much.
She does look like Emily. Tamara. It is.
I love
it's called.
Though.
It's for Fitness Plus. It's just regular Fitness Plus, but it's just part of the ecosystem for Apple. And if you open Fitness Plus, there is a little area and it says time to walk. And then it has all these, it's just random walks with people like Wanda Sykes, John Chu, Malcolm Gladwell, Kesha.
Please
Anthony
tell me
Ramos.
You'll do Wanda Sykes. She's so funny.
Mindy Copeland. Ooh, I would want to go on a walk with her. They have so many cool people that you just want to walk with. And then the coolest thing is that it's you just go out for a walk and it's so great. So great. I love it.
I wonder what I would have to do cardio fitness if I was roller skating. Maybe Emily is using it and she can tell me.
I don't know. Well, part of it is that you just have to put it in your ears. Anyway, y'all, are we going to stop?
Yeah, let's stop. So if you just want to send feedback at shepodcast.com, send me an email, or you can just enjoy the ride and see where it takes you. You know what I'm saying?
This is unmedicated Jessica.
There's no hope for us to get through all the news articles on unmedicated Jessica Day.
Nope.
There's just not. I mean, there's very little hope during a medicated Jessica Day. So I'm thinking about makeup. What do you want me to say?
And we're still trying to close the show, y'all.
That's the title of the show.
Thank you guys so
Unmedicated Jessica.
No, because Unmedicated Jessica and Screaming Elsie.
Screaming, no, but yelling. Lots of yelling.
Yelling Elsie.
My ears are a little swollen. Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening to She Podcast today. If you want to see our show notes and any of the magical things we talked about today, go to shepodcast.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at She Podcast. Go ahead and sign up for our newsletter on our website. You will hear everything new. We're starting to do emails about... Well, let me finish. We're starting to do emails about the event, and we're doing some behind the scenes stuff on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So go ahead and check that out. You can find that on shepodcast.com/join the community. You can also sign up for text updates from Elsie because she's hogging the text updates for now. And that is at 302-240-3425. That's 302-240-3425. And or if you don't have that, you can just go to my.community.com/shepodcast, put in your number, and we will give you text, for example, as to when we're going live, as well as when we have, like, we're about to have some specials and deals on tickets. We're going to have some exciting stuff. We're going to do another call for speakers sometime at some place, which we are not going to tell you when it's going to be. You have to learn about it. Okay, thank you guys so much. We really appreciate you being here. Thank you especially to those of you who are here live, watching it live.
They're God gone bless now. You.
God bless you and your children and your children's children. Love you.
Mean it.
Bye. So angry. That was so angry. You don't mean it. You don't mean it at all.
I don't think she does.
You're lying today. Today that was a lie. Today you lied. You don't mean it. That was so mean. That was a mean it. I'm calling you out, meanie. Meanie Mussolini. That's you today.
Oh my God, because I'm Little Miss
it
Fun.
It says Little Miss Fun, but your t-shirt is also a lie. It's a lie, I tell you.
Oh my God.
You're not fun today. I'm sorry if I took you on a mental roller coaster. I apologize. Imagine being inside here. It's less fun than it looks.
Well, I mean, oh.